Chapter 11. We walked out onto that vast floor. The farther we went, the more I felt like a fly on a plate. Having Pee-wee with me was a help. Nevertheless, it was that nightmare where you find yourself not decently dressed in a public place. Pee-wee clutched my hand and held Madame Pompadour pressed tightly to her. I wished that I had suited up in Oscar. I wouldn't have felt quite so under a microscope with Oscar around me. Just before we left, the mother thing placed her hand against my forehead and started to hold me with her eyes. I pushed her hand aside and looked away. "No," I told her. "No treatments. I'm not going to... Oh, I know you mean well, but I won't take an anesthetic. Thanks." She did not insist. She simply turned to Pee-wee. Pee-wee looked uncertain, then shook her head.
"We're ready."
The farther out we got on that great bare floor, the more I regretted that I had not let the mother thing do whatever it was that kept one from worrying. At least I should have insisted that Pee-wee take it. Coming at us from the other walls were two other flies. As they got closer, I recognized them, the Neanderthal and the Legionary. The caveman was being dragged invisibly. The Roman covered ground in a long, slow, easy lope. We all arrived at the center at the same time and were stopped about 20 feet apart, Pee-wee and I at one point of a triangle, the Roman and the caveman each at another. I called out,
"Hail, Unio!
Silence, barbarian!"
He looked around him, his eyes estimating the crowd at the walls. He was no longer in casual dress. The untidy leggings were gone. Strapped to his right shin was armor. Over the tunic he wore full cuirass, and his head was brave with plumed helmet. All metal was burnished. All leather was clean. He had approached with his shield on his back, root march style, but even as we were stopped, he unslung it and raised it on his left arm. He did not draw his sword, as his right hand held his javelin at the ready, carried easily while his wary eyes assessed the foe. To his left, the caveman hunkered himself small, as an animal crouches who has no place to hide.
"Unio!"
I called out.
"Listen!"
The sight of those two had me still more worried. The caveman I could not talk to, but perhaps I could reason with the Roman.
"Do you know why we are here?"
"I know,"
he tossed over his shoulder.
"Today, the gods try us in their arena. This is work for a soldier and a Roman citizen. You're no help, so keep out. No, watch behind me and shout. Caesar will reward you."
I started to try to talk sense, but was cut off by a giant voice from everywhere.
"You are now being judged."
Pee-wee shivered and got closer. I twisted my left hand out of her clutch, substituted my right, and put my left arm around her shoulders. "Head up, partner," I said softly. "Don't let them scare you."
"I'm not scared,"
she whispered as she trembled.
"Kip, you do the talking."
"Is that the way you want it?"
"Yes. You don't get mad as fast as I do. And if I lost my temper, well, that'd be awful."
"Okay." We were interrupted by that flat nasal twang. As before, it seemed close by.
"This case derives from the one preceding it. The three temporal samples are from a small Lanador-type planet around a star in an out-center part of the third galaxy. It is a very primitive area, having no civilized races. This race, as you see from the samples, is barbaric. It has been examined twice before, and would not yet be up for routine examination had not new facts about it come out in the case which preceded it."
The voice asked itself.
"When was the last examination made?"
It answered itself.
"Approximately one half death of thorium-230 ago,"
it added, apparently to us only.
"About 80,000 of your years."
Unio jerked his head and looked around, as if trying to locate the voice. I concluded that he had heard the same figure in his corrupt Latin. Well, I was startled, too. but I was numb to that sort of shock.
Is it necessary again so soon? It is. There has been a discontinuity. They are developing with unexpected speed.
The flat voice went on, speaking to us.
I am your judge. Many of the civilized beings you see around you are part of me. Others are spectators, some are students, and a few are here because they hope to catch me in a mistake. This they have not managed to do in more than a million of your years.
I blurted out, "You are more than a million years old?" I did not add that I didn't believe it. The voice answered,
I am older than that, but no part of me is that old. I am partly machine, which part can be repaired, replaced, recopied. I am partly alive. These parts die and are replaced. My living parts are more than a dozen dozens of civilized beings from throughout three galaxies, any dozen dozens of which may join with my non-living part to act. Today I am 209 qualified beings who have at their instant disposal all knowledge accumulated in my non-living part and all its ability to analyze and integrate.
I said sharply, Are your decisions made unanimously? I thought I saw a loophole. I never had much luck mixing up Dad and Mother, but there had been times as a kid when I had managed to confuse issues by getting one to answer one way and the other to answer another. The voice added evenly,
Decisions are always unanimous. It may help you to think of me as one person.
It addressed everyone.
Standard sampling has been followed. The contemporary sample is the double one. The intermediate sample for curve check is the closed single sample and was taken by standard random at a spacing of approximately 1/2 depth of radium 226.
The voice supplemented.
Call it 1600 of your years. The remote curve check sample by standard procedure, was taken at 24 times that distance.
The voice asked itself,
Why is curve check spacing so short? Why not at least 12 times that? Because this organism's generations are very short, it mutates rapidly.
The explanation appeared to satisfy, for it went on,
The youngest sample will witness first.
I thought he meant Pee-wee, and so did she. She cringed. But the voice barked, and the caveman jerked. He did not answer. He simply crouched more deeply into himself. The voice barked again. It then said to itself,
I observe something. Speak. This creature is not ancestor to those others.
The voice of the machine almost seemed to betray emotion, as if my dour grocer had found salt in his sugar bin.
The sample was properly taken. Nevertheless,
it answered,
it is not a correct sample. You must review all pertinent data.
For a long 5 seconds was silence. Then the voice spoke,
This poor creature is not ancestor to these others. He is cousin only. He has no future of his own. Let him be returned at once to the space-time whence he came.
The Neanderthal was dragged rapidly away. I watched him out of sight with a feeling of loss. I had been afraid of him at first. Then I had despised him and was ashamed of him. He was a coward. He was filthy. He stank. A dog was more civilized. But in the past 5 minutes, I had decided that I had better love him, see his good points, for, unsavory as he was human. Maybe he wasn't my remote grandfather, but I was in no mood to disown even my sorriest relation. The voice argued with itself, deciding whether the trial could proceed. Finally, it stated,
Examination will continue. If enough facts are not developed, another remote sample of correct lineage will be summoned. Unio!
The Roman raised his javelin higher.
Who calls Unio?
Stand forth and bear witness.
Just as I feared, Unio told the voice where to go and what to do. There was no protecting Pee-wee from his language. It echoed back in English. Not that it mattered now whether Pee-wee was protected from unladylike influences. The flat voice went on imperturbably.
Is this your voice? Is this your witnessing?
Immediately another voice started up, which I recognized as that of the Roman, answering questions, giving accounts of battle, speaking of treatment of prisoners. This we got only in English, but the translation held the arrogant timbre of Unio's voice. Unio shouted,
Witchcraft!
And made horns at them. The recording cut off.
The voice matches. The recording will be integrated.
But it continued to peck at Unio, asking him details about who he was, why he was in Britain, what he had done there, and why it was necessary to serve Caesar. Unio gave short answers, then blew his top and gave none. He let out a rebel yell that bounced around that mammoth room, drew back, and let fly his javelin. It fell short, but I think he broke the Olympic record. I found myself cheering. Unio drew his sword while the javelin was still rising. He flung it up in a gladiatorial challenge, shouting,
Hail Caesar!
And dropped into guard. He reviled them. He told them what he thought of vermin who were not citizens, not even barbarians. I said to myself, Uh-oh, there goes the game. Human race, you've had it. Unio went on and on, calling on his gods to help him, each way worse than the last, threatening them with Caesar's vengeance in gruesome detail. I hoped that, even though it was translated, Pee-wee would not understand much of it. But she probably did. She understood entirely too much. I began to grow proud of him. That worm face, in diatribe, was evil. Unio was not. Under bad grammar, worse language, and rough manner, that tough old sergeant had courage, human dignity, and a basic gallantry. He might be an old scoundrel, but he was my kind of scoundrel. He finished by demanding that they come at him, one at a time, or let them form a turtle and he would take them all on at once.
I'll make a funeral pyre of you! I'll temper my blade in your guts! I, who'm about to die, will show you a Roman's grave, piled high with Caesar's enemies!
He had to catch his breath. I cheered again, and Pee-wee joined in. He looked over his shoulder and grinned.
Slit their throats as I bring them down, boy! There's work to do!
The cold voice said,
Let him now be returned to the space-time whence he came.
Unio looked startled as invisible hands pulled him along. He called on Mars and Jove and laid about him. The sword clattered to the floor, picked itself up, and returned itself to his scabbard. Unio was moving rapidly away. I cupped my hands and yelled,
Goodbye, Unio!
Farewell, boy! They're cowards!
He shook himself.
Nothing but filthy witchcraft!
Then he was gone.
Clifford Russell!
Huh? I'm here.
Pee-wee squeezed my hand.
Is this your voice?
I said, Wait a minute!
Yes? Speak.
I took a breath. Pee-wee pushed closer and whispered,
Make it good, Kip. They mean it.
I'll try, kid,
I whispered, then went on.
What is this? I was told you intend to judge the human race.
That is correct.
But you can't! You haven't enough to go on! No better than witchcraft, just as Unio said. You brought in a caveman, then decided he was a mistake. That isn't your only mistake. You had Unio here. Whatever he was, and I'm not ashamed of him, I'm proud of him. He's got nothing to do with now. He's been dead 2,000 years, pretty near. If you've sent him back, I mean. And all that he was is dead with him. Good or bad. He's not what the human race is now.
I know that. You two are the test sample of your race now.
Yes, but you can't judge from us. Pee-wee and I are about as far from average as any specimens can be. We don't claim to be angels, either one of us. If you condemn our race on what we have done, you do a great injustice. Judge us, or judge me, at least...
Me too!
...on whatever I've done. But don't hold my people responsible. That's not scientific. That's not valid mathematics.
It is valid.
It is not! Human beings aren't molecules. They're all different.
I decided not to argue about jurisdiction. The worm faces had ruined that approach.
Agreed. Human beings are not molecules, but they are not individuals either.
Yes, they are!
They are not independent individuals. They are parts of a single organism. Each cell in your body contains your whole pattern. From three samples of the organism you call the human race, I can predict the future potentialities and limits of that race.
We have no limits. There's no telling what our future will be.
It may be that you have no limits. That is to be determined. But if true, it is not a point in your favor, for we have limits.
Huh?
You have misunderstood the purpose of this examination. You speak of justice. I know what you think you mean, but no two races have ever agreed on the meaning of that term. No matter how they say it, it is not a concept I deal with here. This is not a court of justice.
Then what is it?
You would call it a security council, or you might call it a committee of vigilantes. It does not matter what you call it. My sole purpose is to examine your race and see if you threaten our survival. If you do, I will now dispose of you. The only certain way to avert a grave danger is to remove it while it is small. Things that I have learned about you suggest a possibility that you may someday threaten the security of three galaxies. I will now determine the facts.
But you said that you have to have at least three samples. The caveman was no good.
We have three samples, you two and the Roman. But the facts could be determined from one sample. The use of three is a custom from earlier times. A cautious habit of checking and rechecking. I cannot dispense justice. I can make sure not to produce error.
I was about to say that he was wrong, even if he was a million years old. But the voice went on.
I continue the examination. Clifford Russell, is this your voice?
My voice sounded then, and again it was my own dictated account. But this time everything was left in. Purple adjectives, personal opinions, comments about other matters, every word and stutter. I listened to enough of it, held up my hand. All right, I said it. The recording stopped.
Do you now confirm it?
Yes.
Do you wish to add, subtract, or change?
I thought hard. Aside from a few wisecracks that I had tucked in later, it was a straightforward account. No, I stand on it.
And is this also your voice?
This one fooled me. It was that endless recording I had made for Prof. Joe about, well, everything on Earth. History, customs, peoples, the works. Suddenly, I knew why Prof. Joe had worn the same badge the mother thing wore. What did they call that? planting a stool pigeon? Good old Prof. Joe, the no good, had been a stoolie. I felt sick. Let me hear more of it. They accommodated me. I didn't really listen. I was trying to remember, not what I was hearing, but what else I might have said. What I had admitted that could be used against the human race. The Crusades? Slavery? The gas chambers at Dachau? How much had I said? The recording droned on. Why, that thing had taken weeks to record. We could stand here until our feet went flat. It's my voice.
Do you stand on this too? Or do you wish to correct, revise, or extend?
I said cautiously. Can I do the whole thing over?
If you so choose.
I started to say that I would, that they should wipe the tape and start over. But would they? Or would they keep both and compare them? I had no compunction about lying. Tell the truth and shame the devil is no virtue when your family and friends and your whole race are at stake. But could they tell if I lied?
The mother thing said to tell the truth and not to be afraid.
But she's not on our side.
Oh, yes, she is.
I had to answer. I was so confused that I couldn't think. I had tried to tell the truth to Prof. Joe. Oh, maybe I had shaded things, not included every horrid thing that makes a headline, but it was essentially true. Could I do better under pressure? Would they let me start fresh and accept any propaganda I cooked up? Or would the fact that I changed stories be used to condemn our race? I stand on it.
Let it be integrated. Patricia, Winant, Reisfeld.
Pee-wee took only moments to identify and allow to be integrated her recordings. She simply followed my example. The machine voice said,
the facts have been integrated. By their own testimony, these are a savage and brutal people, given to all manner of atrocities. They eat each other. They starve each other. They kill each other. They have no art and only the most primitive of science. Yet such is their violent nature that even with so little knowledge, they are now energetically using it to exterminate each other, tribe against tribe. Their driving will is such that they may succeed. But if by some unlucky chance they fail, they will inevitably, in time, reach other stars. It is this possibility which must be calculated. How soon they will reach us, if they live, and what their potentialities will be then.
The voice continued to us.
This is the indictment against you. Your own savagery combined with superior intelligence. What have you to say in your defense?
I took a breath and tried to steady down. I knew that we had lost, yet I had to try. I remembered how the mother thing had spoken. My lord peers.
Correction. We are not your lords, nor has it been established that you are our equals. If you wish to address someone, you may call me the moderator.
Yes, Mr. Moderator. I tried to remember what Socrates had said to his judges. He knew ahead of time that he was condemned, just as we knew. But somehow, though he had been forced to drink hemlock, he had won, and they had lost. No, I couldn't use his apologia. All he had lost was his own life. This was everybody. You say we have no art. Have you seen the Parthenon?
Blown up in one of your wars.
Better see it before you rotate us, or you'll be missing something. Have you read our poetry? Our revels now are ended. These are actors, as I foretold you. We're all spirits, and are melted into air, into thin air. And like the baseless fabric of this vision, the cloud-capped towers, the gorgeous palaces, the solemn temples, the great globe itself. Itself, yea, all which it inherit shall dissolve. I broke down. I heard Pee-wee sobbing beside me. I don't know why I picked that one, but they say the subconscious mind never does things accidentally. I guess it had to be that one.
As it well may.
I don't think it's any of your business what we do, as long as we leave you alone.
My stammer was back, and I was almost sobbing.
We have made it our business.
We aren't under your government, and...
Correction. Three galaxies is not a government. Conditions for government cannot obtain in so vast a space such varied cultures. We have simply formed police districts for mutual protection.
But even so, we haven't troubled your cops. We were in our own backyards. I was in my own backyard when these worm-faced things came along and started troubling us. We haven't hurt you.
I stopped, wondering where to turn. I couldn't guarantee good behavior, not for the whole human race. The machine knew it, and I knew it.
Inquiry.
It was talking to itself again.
These creatures appear to be identical with the old race, allowing for mutation. What part of the third galaxy are they from?
It answered itself, naming coordinates that meant nothing to me.
But they are not of the old race. They are ephemerals. That is the danger. They change too fast. Didn't the old race lose a ship out that way a few half-deaths of thorium-230 ago? Could that account for the fact that the youngest sample failed to match?
It answered firmly.
It is immaterial whether or not they may be descended from the old race. An examination is in progress. A decision must be made. The decision must be sure. It will be.
The bodiless voice went on to us.
Have either of you anything to add in your defense?
I had been thinking of what had been said about the miserable state of our science. I wanted to point out that we had gone from muscle power to atomic power in only 2 centuries, but I was afraid that fact would be used against us. Pee-wee, can you think of anything? She suddenly stepped forward and shrilled to the air.
Doesn't it count that Kip saved the mother thing?
No, it is irrelevant.
Well, it ought to count.
She was crying again.
You ought to be ashamed of yourselves! Bullies! Cowards! Oh, you're worse than worm faces!
I pulled her back. She hid her head against my shoulder and shook. Then she whispered,
I'm sorry, Kip. I didn't mean to. I guess I've ruined it.
It was ruined anyhow, honey.
Have you anything more to say?
Old No Face went on relentlessly. I looked around at the hall.
The Cloudcast Towers, the Great Wall itself!
Just this! It's not a defense! You don't want a defense! All right, take away our star! You will if you can, and I guess you can! Go ahead! We'll make a star! Then, someday, we'll come back and hunt you down! All of you!
That's telling them, Kip! That's telling them!
Nobody bawled me out. I suddenly felt like a kid who has made a horrible mistake at a party and doesn't know how to cover it up. But I meant it. Oh, I didn't think we could do it. Not yet. But we'd try. Die trying is the proudest human thing.
It is possible that you will.
That infuriating voice went on.
Are you through?
I'm through.
We all were through. Every one of us.
Does anyone speak for them? Humans, will any race speak for you?
We didn't know any other races. Dogs. Maybe dogs would.
I speak for them.
Pee-wee raised her head with a jerk.
Mother thing!
Suddenly, she was in front of us. Pee-wee tried to run to her, bounced off that invisible barrier. I grabbed her. Easy, hun. She isn't there. It's some sort of television.
My Lord Piers, you have the advantage of many minds and much knowledge.
It was odd to see her singing, hear her in English. The translation still held that singing quality.
But I know them. It is true that they are violent, especially the smaller one, but they are not more violent than is appropriate to their ages. Can we expect mature restraint in a race whose members all must die in early childhood? And are not we ourselves violent? Have we not this day killed our billions? Can any race survive without a willingness to fight? It is true that these creatures are often more violent than is necessary or wise. But, my peers, they all are so very young. Give them time to learn.
That is exactly what there is to fear, that they may learn. Your race is overly sentimental. It distorts your judgment.
Not true. We are compassionate. We are not foolish. I myself have been the proximate cause of how many, many adverse decisions. You know. It is in your records. I prefer not to remember. And I shall be again. When a branch is diseased beyond healing, it must be pruned. We are not sentimental. We are the best watchers you have ever found, for we do it without anger. Toward evil, we have no mercy, but the mistakes of a child we treat with loving forbearance.
Have you finished?
I say that this branch need not be pruned. I have finished.
The Mother Thing's image vanished. The voice went on.
Does any other race speak for them?
I do.
Where she had been, now stood a large green monkey. He stared at us and shook his head, then suddenly did a somersault and finished looking at us between his legs.
I'm no friend of theirs, but I am a lover of justice, in which I differ from my colleagues in this council.
He twirled rapidly several times.
As our sister has said, this race is young. The infants of my own noble race bite and scratch each other. Some even die from it. Even I behaved so at one time.
He jumped into the air, landed on his hands, did a flip from that position.
Yet does anyone here deny that I am civilized?
He stopped, looked at us thoughtfully while scratching.
These are brutal savages, and I don't see how anyone could ever like them. But I say, give them their chance.
His image disappeared. The voice said,
Have you anything to add before a decision is reached?
I started to say, No, get it over with, when Pee-wee grabbed my ear and whispered. I listened, nodded, and spoke. Mr. Moderator, if the verdict is against us, can you hold off your hangmen long enough to let us go home? We know that you can send us home in only a few minutes. The voice did not answer quickly.
Why do you wish this? As I have explained, you are not personally on trial. It has been arranged to let you live.
We know. We'd rather be home. That's all. With our people. Again, a tiny hesitation.
It shall be done. Are the facts sufficient to permit a decision? Yes. What is the decision? This race will be re-examined in a dozen half-deaths of radium. Meanwhile, there is danger to it from itself. Against this mischance, it will be given assistance. During the probationary period, it will be watched closely by Guardian Mother.
The machine trilled the true Vegan name of the Mother Thing.
The cop on that beat, who will report at once any ominous change. In the meantime, we wish this race good progress in its long journey upward. Let them now be returned forthwith to the space-time whence they came.